Let's pray. Lord God, through your word, stir up our faith and give us courage to stand and to speak. Amen. He can harm us none. Easy to sing. Maybe it's a little harder to believe it. We sing all kinds of cool things on Reformation Day, don't we? He can harm us none. Or take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Or the way I learned it in grade school. Do what they will, hate, steal, hurt, or kill. We sing all sorts of cool things on a day like today. And it's fun to sing A Mighty Fortress. It's fun to strike a defiant pose. It's fun to stick out our chests and get all stirred up, ready to go off to battle with Jesus. But what about when the organ tones die down and we're back in our everyday lives? What about when this world's prince scowls fierce as he will? What about when the things that are dear to us, our goods, fame, child, and wife, even our own life, stand in the crosshairs of the devil's rage and fury? What about them? Can we really say he can harm us none? Can we really say, do what they will? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They stood in the face of the worst that the most powerful man in the world could throw at them. And they made their confession. And God the Holy Spirit made sure that their words, that their deeds were recorded for us in Holy Scripture so that he could give us that same courage. So that he could give us everything we need to stand with them and make that confession ours. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had had an up and down, a roller coaster kind of last few years. See, they had been born into noble families in the aristocracy of Judah. Their families had been high up in the hierarchy of Jerusalem, the capital city, and they'd enjoyed all the privileges and the pleasures that came with that until Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian Empire and all the might of their armies had brought Jerusalem to its knees. And to keep Judah and its people from getting too uppity, he had decapitated the nation. He'd taken all the up-and-comers, all the most important families, including Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, out of their homeland and into exile in Babylon. And just like that, they lost everything that they'd been born into, everything they'd enjoyed. But then their fortunes seemed to take an upturn for a little while, right? The king's chief of staff identified Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as promising young men, full of potential, intelligent, good-looking. And so he chose them to receive an education. 3 years, they'd go through this program, and at the end, they would be qualified to serve in the government of the Babylonian Empire. They did well in school. At the end, when they graduated, Nebuchadnezzar himself examined them, and he made this comment to his other advisors. He said, These young men are 10 times better than any other officials I've got. And so he gave them a high position. He made them administrators over the province of Babylon. And just like that, they were back on the up and up, right? They had position. They had authority. They were accumulating wealth again. Until the notice came from the king. See, Nebuchadnezzar had been expanding his empire by military might, but now it was time to consolidate his power a little bit. And to do that, he was constructing a statue out in the provinces. When it was done, it would be 90 feet tall. Maybe that included the plinth, the pedestal that it was on, but still 90 feet tall and plated in gold. And here's what the king said. This is going to be the symbol of unity in our empire. And so on the day of dedication that's coming soon, I want all of my officials, anyone who's anybody, and all of my people, when they hear the signal, to bow down and worship that statue out of loyalty to me. Oh, and by the way, anyone who doesn't will be burned alive. Do what they will. He can harm us none. Easy to sing. But do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a little bit of trouble believing it? As they looked out their office windows and saw the statue nearing completion, you see the devil's fury and rage at God and his people. That's a little hard to put your finger on, right? But Nebuchadnezzar, he was their boss. He was the king. And that furnace was right there smelting the metal for the project. This is getting a little too real. And they had a lot to lose. Isn't it when we have a lot to lose? Isn't that the time that we start to make excuses? Isn't that when we start to rationalize making decisions that maybe save our skin at the expense of God's honor and glory? I know what God's word says I'm supposed to do and what I'm not. But if I go by that, then my boyfriend or my girlfriend might break up with me. I know how God calls me to act. But if I don't do that thing, like all my friends are doing, they're going to look at me with the weirdest look in their eye. And I'm going to be on the outside real quick. I know what God has said about all the social issues of the day, but if I let it be known that I agree with what God's word says, I'm going to get a label that is not flattering that I do not want. Do you think any of those thoughts, those kind of thoughts, were running through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's minds? It would have been so easy to make excuses, to rationalize, right? Could have started right when they got to Babylon. Well, living according to God's word, that was all fine and good when we were in Jerusalem, surrounded by God's people who all had God's word and lived that way, but we're not in Jerusalem anymore. When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do, right? They didn't do that. But then the decree came in. There's another plethora of excuses they could have made, right? We just got these jobs. Just think of the good we could do for the people of God if we just stay alive. Or he just wants us to bow. Right? He can't see our hearts. If we just bend the knee and keep our hearts focused on the true God, no one will be any the wiser. Or if we just bow this once, just this once, just to get through this with our lives, God will understand, won't he? Yeah, lots of excuses they could have made. Plenty of rationalization. But they didn't do it. Right? The day of dedication came. The music played. That was the symbol, the signal, right? And a nation, many nations, fell on their faces. Except for three. Do what they will. As they were hauled before Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sure he thought he was giving a generous second chance, right? Hey, remember the whole music thing? Remember what you're supposed to do, right? Music plays, and you will bow, right? Otherwise, he points at the furnace, right? And he asked a rhetorical question then. Right? We didn't read it in our reading, but he said, you'll be thrown into the furnace if you don't. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? It was a rhetorical question, right? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered it. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to rescue us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. What God can save us? Our God. And the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is our God, too. He's the God of the Exodus and the God of a Red Sea crossing. He's the God of the tumbling walls of Jericho. He's the God of a shepherd boy who defeated a giant with a sling. He's the God of Carmel, not the candy, but the mountain where he proved that Baal is nothing, but the Lord, he is God. Our God is the God of countless victories on behalf of his people, countless rescues, the people that he loves, but none so great. None so powerful, none so clear as the victory that he won on a cross and declared with the words, "It is finished." None so dear to me and to you as the one in which the God of all took my place in the flames of hell that my sins had earned, so that I could live. What God is able to save you from the hand of the enemy? Our God can. Our God loves you more than life itself, and his power is greater than the power of any king in any furnace of any flames, no matter what they might be. And so our God is powerful enough to preserve your relationship, even if you say no to sex outside of marriage. He's powerful enough. Our God is powerful enough to change your workplace so that they appreciate your Christianity instead of ridiculing it. He's powerful enough. Our God is powerful enough to save your reputation, even though you stay true to his word. What God is powerful enough to rescue us from the flames? Our God. But it's what those three men said next that blows me away. But even if he does not. Even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if he does not. Or in the words of Martin Luther, who wrote A Mighty Fortress, take they our life, we will not bow. Does your faith come with that kind of courage? You know that your God is powerful enough to douse the flames. You know that he is able to rid you of any kind of evil or persecution before you even get singed. But are you willing to stand in faith even if he does not? Because standing up to Jesus might cost you dearly. If you commit to what God has said about sex and sexuality, you might lose that relationship. If you refuse to compromise your integrity and to do that dishonest thing that your employer asked you to do, you might lose your job. If you don't go along with the group, you might find yourself outside it. That's what the three men standing before the fiery furnace meant when they said, even if he does not. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know what would happen as they stood at the mouth of that furnace. They had no promise from God that he would preserve their lives. And their story could have ended right there that day. And you know what? They would have been okay with that. They would have been okay with it. Because they knew their God. That he is real. That he has proved his love for them time and time again. That he is powerful, yes, powerful enough to save them from the flames. But even more, powerful enough to save them all the way through them. Let me say it again. Our God is able to save us from the flames, but he is also powerful enough to save us all the way through them. Our God is able to use lost friends, lost relationships, a lost job, a lost reputation, and to turn it into a happy end. Our God is powerful enough to do that. In fact, he promises to do that. And what's more, our God is powerful and loving enough to take death itself and make it into a happy end. You want the proof? Look at Jesus. He is the clearest evidence of what God's love and power and saving grace for his people does. Jesus' cross outlined against the background of an empty tomb shows us how God transforms the cross into a crown. Shows us how God turns death into a nap. Shows us how God has turned the grave into a gateway to eternal life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's story didn't end in flames. Right? God intervened miraculously, stupendously to save them. He preserved their position, their reputation, and their lives. They didn't even smell like smoke. And God made sure that was recorded so that you and I, we who sometimes have to say, even if he does not, would know that even up to, even in the midst of the flames, our God is with us. Our God loves us, and our God rescues us, sometimes from the flames, sometimes through them. So stand in courage. Stand and make your confession of faith. You know the God who stands with you. Now stand with him and sing. Take they our life. Goods, fame, child, or wife, though all may be gone, our victory is won. The kingdom is ours forever. Lord, give us courage to make such a confession, even in the flames. Amen.